Psalm 119, verses 41 through 48. Psalm 119, 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgment. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and will meditate in thy statutes. So may be the dedication of our hearts. As we would speak to the children for a moment this morning, we'd like to ask for a little assistance. And I know these girls may think that I'm picking on them, but they're very cooperative. And we'll leave Connie there this morning to take care of Sherry. Would you other two girls come up and help me just a moment, please? I appreciate your willingness.
Right here, because we want everyone to hear you too. Because we'd like to ask you two questions. First, what is your name?
Nancy Alkenbeck.
And yours?
Donnie Alkenbeck. Kathy Owen.
All right. You've heard their names. Everyone hear them? Good. What is your address?
1419 Second.
1419 Second. And your?
Kathy? 6647 Street.
All right. Do you know your phone number?
Yeah.
Would you give it for?
329-599.
Good. And yours?
LA42150.
Good. Do you know your area code number?
Yeah.
Do you know it?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
49508.
Well, yes, for your dialing a telephone. Do you know that area code number? You don't know that number? Do you know that number? Well, they weren't prepared for that answer, were they? I wonder, could you give me a verse speaks concerning your hope in the coming of Christ? Quote me a verse out of the Bible that speaks about your hope. We've proved the point. Not only there are certain things that's difficult for us to know what to be prepared for, but the necessity of being prepared at least with an answer, and I'm sure that before the sun sets today, you will have a verse on why you have a hope in the coming of Christ. You know where it is, and you'll be able to quote at least the thought of it. Won't you? Good. Thank you. All right. Thank you, girls. May we bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would touch each one of us by your Holy Spirit, that we may have wisdom to know how we ought to prepare. Bless in this fellowship. Bless in our reasoning together in the word spoken. Bless that these lips may speak thy will. In Jesus' name, amen. Our thought continues from our sermonette, the challenge of being ready, and the question, are we ready? Certainly, ready for what? I mean, we're ready for certain things, even as these young ladies were ready for certain things. There were certain things they knew and were prepared for. Now, the challenge to us is to know that for which we must prepare and how to prepare. We know that we are looking forward eagerly to reigning and ruling with Christ.
of being in his kingdom. We're looking eagerly forward to God's transformation power taking control of us. That either if we're dead, we'll be resurrected, or if we are alive, will we be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. We anticipate, hopefully, of being made immortal, having eternal life, living in God's kingdom eternally. We know this is what we want, but we must be ready, prepared now today. Well, in order to be ready, the Bible has several pointed instructions concerning readiness of how to be ready. We'd like to look at a few of those this morning. The Bible ready of what to be ready for. First, in speaking of the coming of Christ in Matthew 44, we have the well-known scripture that also appears in the other Gospels. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Be ready, prepared, having a right relationship with our King now, that we may reign with him in his coming kingdom. You see, unless we are fostering, engendering, and promoting, and developing this right relationship with Christ now, then we will have no part with him in his kingdom. We must yield our lives to Christ now. Then be ye also ready, for we know not when our Lord doth come. But turn with me back to 1 Peter for our first readiness in the Bible. In 1 Peter, the third chapter, 1 Peter 3. This is a challenge that every one of us can meet today. This is a challenge that these three girls are going to meet before the day is over, to have a verse that speaks to them of their hope in the coming of Christ. And incidentally, if they'll just look up 1 Thessalonians 4:16, there's an excellent one that will help to prepare us. We won't look at that right now. But what we're concerned about is the readiness, the imperative readiness of the Christian. And in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, Peter is saying, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Being ready for an answer, an expression, a testimony, a statement of why we are hoping, anticipating, looking forward, expecting the coming of Christ. Have an answer for the one that asketh you. Well now, praise be to God if someone asks. But they're going to ask because they see a difference, because they witness something different in us. You've known people who are happy and content and at peace in their hearts, and oftentimes you know the reason, because they have yielded their lives to Christ. And there's no peace that can fill our hearts with a measure of contentment like that of personally yielding our lives to him. To know that we are not the master of our own destiny, that our whole future doesn't depend upon our own limited strength, but we've committed ourselves to the Son of God, who of his own testimony said, "I have received all power and authority," that he might lead us and guide us and strengthen us to be watching and ready for his call. Now it says, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you." Now, having a reason, certainly having a scripture, having a text, having a thought. From our scripture reading, recall we read, "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed." And if we have a ready answer, we'll not be ashamed. If we have a reason, a scriptural reason, If we have a testimony that we can give, we're admonished concerning the speaking of the Word of God and speaking of our hope. Over in Colossians, turn with me to the fourth chapter. Colossians 4, where we're challenged concerning our words and thoughts and concern in the coming of Christ, and our words are to be seasoned. In Colossians 4:6, it says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Now, very likely all of us could say something concerning our hope. We can say, well, we're hoping for the coming of Christ. We're looking forward to the coming of Christ. This is our hope. And yet, to have these words seasoned with salt, that is, to have them seasonable. Now, once in a while in our house, when we make oatmeal, once in a while someone forgets to put the salt in. And you know, the first one that takes a spoonful, oh, hold of it, get the salt shaker, and we start salting our oatmeal all around the table. You know, you just don't care for it at all. It just seems to be flat. There's something lacking. You know, sometimes we could answer someone, and someone says, well, why are you so hopeful and happy and everything? Oh, I'm looking for Christ to come, you know, just like unsalted oatmeal, you know. And yet, if you could say, even as we sang this morning, and Sister Lattinger inspired us in singing, looking for the coming of Christ, the joy in the coming of Christ. I'm looking for my Savior to come and call me and make me immortal for eternity. You know, there's a difference in the way we express it. That our words be seasoned with salt, that they might be effective, that they might be heard, that they might be held, that they might be listened to. We must be ready then to express something of our hope, something of our own personal conviction in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will all testify that the coming of Christ, that event, is the most important thing to us. We could inherit a million. We could win some of these prizes that are offered on TV and so forth. We could get a lot of things. They're all inferior and all second rate when it comes to the coming of Jesus Christ. Some of you young people looking expectantly forward to a career or getting married or owning your own car and things like this, the coming of Christ must take the precedence above everything else. You see, if it does, this is important to us, and we must have a reason for our own personal conviction that Jesus, my Savior, is coming to call me. We must be ready to speak this word of testimony. And in 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, 2 Timothy 4, we have read this verse before from the Amplified, but to me it's beautiful. And I, in thinking about this sermon, found myself reading it several times. I didn't want to read it just once and quit. I don't know how many times I read it. But the beauty that is brought out in the challenge of our being ready to speak the Word of God, speaking our own personal conviction. And incidentally, we must be ready to quote Scripture. Amen. We would not diminish that fact one bit. But tying with it our own personal conviction of what the Lord Jesus Christ means to us, what the Word means to us, this is the center many times in our own effort to reach someone for the Lord Jesus Christ. People say, well, you're telling me it's Scripture, and you're leading me, you're showing me, what should it mean to me? What does he mean to you? This is the blessing of personal conviction. It can be that which is needed in leading someone to Christ. But in 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, notice with me the second verse. And reading from the Amplified, herald and preach the word, keep your sense of urgency, stand by, be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome. You, as a preacher of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. This is verse 2. But the challenge to us of keep our sense of urgency. You know, if we are expecting the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to keep our sense of urgency, of ourselves ready, watching, anticipating at any moment the call of Christ. This will keep the urgency of our own preparedness, but it'll also foster our own testimony. The urgency of speaking. Keep your sense of urgency. And then it goes on, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable. You know, here is our stumbling block. It often seems that people are not favorable to our testimony. It always seems as if, well, this doesn't seem to be the time or the place. I mean, they haven't asked me, and it doesn't seem to be a favorable situation. Well, there will be a better opportunity sometime, someplace, somewhere. Or whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Now, the first is speaking of favorable or unfavorable, whether they would be favorable to it or the situation would be favorable. Well, then it speaks about being convenient or inconvenient. It would imply our preparedness, whether it was convenient for us or not. And most times, we all have our own interests. We all have our own daily schedule and programming. And most of the time, it doesn't seem to be convenient for us to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have other things on our minds. We have other things to do. We're preoccupied with the things that we want to accomplish. And so, automatically, it doesn't seem to be convenient for us at this time. But here again, as Jesus, as our example of making the situation, forcing the situation, having the urgency of the message and the situation. And then he goes on, whether it be welcome or unwelcome, again, looking at their receptiveness, whether they're willing to listen or not, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, cultivating the ground that you may sow the seed, preparing the ground, letting them know of your hope and your conviction in the Lord Jesus Christ. This prepares their heart. And so we must have the urgency of the message embedded in our hearts to speak this word of Christ and his coming. But then certainly with kindness and patience and love. In 2 Timothy, again, the second chapter, and we'd like to read this text from Philip's translation. 2 Timothy 2, we'd like to read verses 24 and 25. 2 Timothy 2, 24. And the Lord's servant must not be a man of strife. He must be kind to all, ready and able to teach. He must have patience and the ability gently to correct those who oppose his message. Now, the challenge for us to be kind and loving and thoughtful. And you know, when we start showing the love that we have for God toward other people, it will be expressed in the love and the consideration for their salvation. We would give them something precious as we love them. The most precious thing we can give is to lead them to Christ, to give them a Savior, to lead them to your Savior, to the one who died for you. But be ready and able to teach. In other words, doing it gently, firmly, and yet having that text or that scripture that is dear to us to feed to other people. In our midweek, we have offered a challenge for this coming session on Wednesday night. We're asking that all those who attend to come with 5 verses. Search through the Bible, ask for help, search where you can, find 5 verses that you would feel that you could use to lead someone to Christ, that you would use in one. We're not asking how you might use it or so forth, but just find five verses. And here is an opportunity for every one of us to be encouraged and strengthened. Having that wherewith we are familiar, it means something to us that we might give to other people. Ready with a word. Certainly in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 2 Corinthians 9, we must be ready as far as the Lord's work is concerned, ready to give to the Lord's work. In 2 Corinthians 9, we'd like to read the first two verses. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth and saying, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia and Achaia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." In other words, as far as the giving of tithes and offerings, you were ready a year ago, and I boast to you of you to them of Macedonia, that those of Achaia were ready a year ago to give. You know, this is a definite, purposeful part of our worship service, the giving of our tithes and offerings, the opportunity to return unto God a portion with which He has blessed us. And this is an avenue whereby we should consider definitely. It's not just a pastime for the Christian. It's a command that we are expected to fulfill. And so we must be ready, even as they were, even already a year ago, to give. We must be ready to also yield. Paul wrote to Titus that he should be ready to every good work. Ready to every good work. Now, this is something like the challenge that we offered the two young ladies a moment ago. They didn't come up here with a pen or pencil ready to sign a text that they could have if they would just sign it. They never dreamed of such a thing. But we do know avenues of service that we can fully expect. We do know that we're going to meet people face to face tomorrow who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we can go prepared. Prepared unto every good work. I heard the other day of two fellows working in a shop. One said he prayed for I don't know how long that this fellow would accept Christ. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And he said, one day this fellow came to him and said, "Hey, I've been thinking I should accept Christ as my Savior. Do you know what I should do or how I should go about it?" And the fellow was dumbfounded. "You know what to say." He'd been praying for him all the time, and he wasn't prepared. All the necessity we have of being prepared, of being ready for the reason for our own hope and conviction. The use of our time in preparing. I read something the other day about a couple. It didn't say how old they were, or whether they were children, young people, or what, but they were trying to set the teeter-totter record. And so they teeter-tottered back and forth for 176 hours continuously. And they were so elated, they had just broken the record. And they were about ready to stop when someone says, "Oh, wait a minute, we just heard that the record is 200 hours. And so they teeter-tottered on until they had broken that record. And after it was over, one person standing by said, "Wasn't it fortunate that someone knew that the record was 200 hours, or else all that time would have been wasted?" We're not out to set any teeter-totter records and wasting our time. What we want to do is set our hearts on the most important thing in our lives. Set our hearts on the Lord Jesus Christ. Having a reason. Having a conviction. Having at least one scripture that holds power and punch and meaning to us, whereby we may feed someone else in the meaning of our hope.
Paul told the church at Colossae that he prayed for the fruitfulness of their every good work. And you know, this is something that we can well pray. Lord, I know not what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know. But prepare me now. Prepare me now for every good work that you lay before me. I think I've told you this before. But quite often, we have been maybe guilty of letting certain avenues of doctrinal understanding and study slip by in favoring of others. Well, it so happened that this one day, we don't know why, but we started studying the nature of man and studying the Hebrew and the Greek. And that afternoon, in making a call, I had a man ask me all about the Hebrew and Greek in the second coming of Christ. And I thank God that he had led me, he had prepared me to give an answer. And we could discuss the scriptures concerning the nature of man. And I feel just as surely that every one of us may have this confidence as we will yield our lives to him, that he will work in us, in our minds, in our thinking, to bring us to the conviction, the place, the knowledge whereby we may be a ready witness unto those about us and to those we meet tomorrow. And then finally in Acts, the 21st chapter, Acts 21, how ready are we? Could we say with Paul, as he spoke these words in Acts 21 and verse 13, then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, there are probably many sitting here who will say, yes, praise the Lord, I'm ready to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. If it were given to me right now, I'd be shot if I confessed Christ, I'd confess his name and die gladly. But you know, the Lord is asking us to live for him. He's asking us to have a reason for the hope that's in us. He's asking us to make a stand. He's asking us to have a reason and to speak this reason. Let's prepare our hearts now. Ready for action. Ready for service. Jesus said, let your loins be girt about and your lights burning. But when we have our loins girt about, the New English Bible says, you be ready for action. You know, in the olden days, they wore long robes and so forth. And whenever they were to run, they brought their robes up around their waistline so they could run, so they could travel. And this is what he's talking about. We must be ready for action. Let's be ready. Now. Not wait until someone asks us, why do you have a hope in the coming of Christ? But let's have a reason. Let's be convinced that Jesus is coming. And I have a light to shine. And I must know. And I must be convinced. And I must have that urgent desire of conviction and readiness to serve my Lord now, that I may serve him in that kingdom to come. Our Heavenly Father, in humility we bow before thee, recognizing that we have missed the mark, that we have fallen short. Grant us, Father, the ability to read, to understand, and the urgent desire to have implanted within our hearts the precious scriptures, the word of Christ, his testimony, and then our own conviction in his testimony, that we may have wherewith to edify and strengthen. Bless us each one to desire this intimacy with Christ above everything else, to make our stand boldly in him, accepting him as our Savior, and then following faithful in his footsteps. In his name we pray. Amen.